Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive.
Always exciting.
This time we're going back to 1995.
Oh, wow.
The year 1995, before the internet as we know it.
Yeah.
Using this fascinating document.
Oh, okay.
Called reichenarflorida.pdf.
Reichenarflorida.
Yeah, so this is...
That sounds Dutch.
It is Dutch, yeah. It's a firsthand account from a man named Arjen Medema.
Okay.
And he publicly shared these notes about his business trip to Florida.
Oh, interesting.
So we're going to experience the 90s through his eyes.
1995. That's before widespread email, right?
Yes.
So I'm really curious to see how he managed international business back then.
Right.
Must have been all faxes and phone calls.
It was, yeah.
Quite a different world.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting to think about how much we rely on instant communication now.
Absolutely.
And just to kind of like set the stage.
Yeah.
Arjen was traveling to Florida.
Okay.
To inspect a custom-built machine.
Ah, so this wasn't just a vacation.
No, no. This is a work trip.
A serious business trip.
Yeah.
I see. So we're not just getting a travelogue here. We're getting a glimpse into the business world of the mid-90s as well.
Yeah, and this is just one of the many things that we're going to be diving into.
I'm excited to uncover all the little details.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of machine are we talking about here?
I don't know.
Was it something cutting edge for its time?
I mean, I'm assuming so.
We're talking about 1995. The technology was quite different.
Yeah, but think about the investment.
Right.
Of having a custom-built machine.
That's true.
And then flying someone across the Atlantic to inspect it.
This machine must have been pretty important to his company.
Right.
Maybe a key piece of equipment?
Maybe.
Wow. That puts a lot of pressure on Arjun's shoulders.
Yeah, to fly all the way there and make sure everything was up to snuff.
Exactly. And speaking of flying, how do you even get to Florida?
Well, he flew business class.
Fancy.
On a Boeing 747.
In 95, that was the ultimate luxury.
I know.
Did he mention anything about the in-flight experience?
He did. He had a personal navigation screen.
Wow, a personal navigation screen. That was pretty high-tech for the time.
I know, right? He seemed so impressed by it.
I can imagine. Today, we take those things for granted.
I know, but, like, it's funny to think how basic it must have been compared to what we have now.
Definitely. But some things never change, do they?
What do you mean?
Like, he mentions backpacks flying out during takeoff.
Oh, yeah.
Timeless travel experience, even in business class.
Yeah, it's true. But let's talk about navigation for a second.
Okay.
Because today we're just glued to our phones.
GPS all the way.
But Arjun had to rely on paper maps.
Wow, old school.
And looking out the window.
Really?
Yeah, he even talks about using the coastline and like ships on the horizon.
To get his bearings.
Yeah.
That's incredible. It makes you realize how much our relationship with maps and geography has changed.
And I know.
Back then, you had to really engage with your surroundings.
Yeah.
Develop a sense of spatial awareness that I think we've kind of lost in the age of GPS.
Right.
It's almost like he was participating in the map-making process himself.
Yeah, and he was clearly fascinated by the whole thing. He meticulously tracked the plane's route over Greenland.
Oh, wow.
Marveling at these untouched landscapes below.
That's beautiful.
I know. You can almost feel the sense of wonder and discovery.
It's a world that felt so much larger back then.
I know.
Less accessible.
And then he lands in Detroit.
Okay.
And gets the VIP treatment.
What?
Yeah.
What does that even mean in 1995?
So he had like a personal escort through the airport.
A personal escort?
Yeah. Can you imagine that?
No, not at all. That level of personalized service is unheard of these days.
I know. It's like a relic from a bygone era.
It makes you wonder if we've lost something valuable in our pursuit of efficiency and speed.
Yeah, definitely food for thought. And, you know, during this whole airport experience, he has a brief encounter with a stewardess who helps them navigate the airport.
Okay.
And he actually bumps into her again later.
A chance encounter.
Yeah, and you kind of get the sense there might have been a misconnect in there.
A little spark amidst the business trip.
Exactly.
I love those little human moments. They add so much color to a story.
And then he finally reaches Florida.
Okay, so what were his first impressions?
So he's immediately struck by the cultural differences.
Like what?
Wider roads, disciplined drivers.
Interesting.
Police cars everywhere.
So different from Europe, I imagine.
Right.
It's easy to forget how much the world has homogenized in recent decades.
Yeah.
I bet his observations are a fascinating window into those differences.
They really are. And it wasn't just the physical environment that stood out to him.
Oh, okay.
He talks about how he stuck to Chinese food.
What?
Because it was the only foreign cuisine he was comfortable with.
Really? That's so interesting.
Right.
I mean, today we have access to cuisines from all over the world.
I know.
But back then, it seems like globalization, at least in terms of food, was still in its early stages.
Yeah, definitely.
What else did he notice about Florida?
Well, there's this part where he talks about being warned about certain neighborhoods, particularly ones populated by Cuban refugees.
I see.
Who were living in really challenging conditions.
So even in the Sunshine State, there were these stark socioeconomic disparities.
Right.
It's interesting to see this issue through the lens of a European visitor.
It is, yeah. And he also had some fascinating observations about American television.
Oh, like what?
So he notes the constant commercial breaks.
Yes.
Which he found really jarring compared to the programming in his home country.
I can imagine.
It's funny how we barely register those now.
I know, right? We're just so used to them.
But back then, it must have been a really noticeable difference.
It's a reminder of how much advertising has shaped our media consumption.
Totally. And then there's this part where he talks about the regional jokes.
Regional jokes.
Yeah, particularly ones targeting South Carolina residents.
Oh, okay.
And he compares them to Belgian jokes in his own culture.
Interesting. So even in a pre-internet world, certain types of humor transcended borders.
Right.
It's a reminder that some cultural tropes are just universal.
Yeah. But you know what gets really interesting?
What's that?
He finally arrives at the factory in Melbourne.
Okay.
Ready to inspect that custom-built machine.
The whole reason for the trip.
Exactly. And guess what? He causes a power outage.
What?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Apparently, it was something to do with him using a different voltage.
Oh, no. A classic case of international incompatibility.
Yeah, it's hilarious, but also kind of alarming.
Imagine the tension in that room.
I know, right? They probably thought he'd blown up the whole machine.
It highlights the challenges of international collaboration back then.
Yeah.
When standards and practices varied so widely.
Today, we take global compatibility for granted. But back then, something as simple as a voltage difference could bring a whole factory to a standstill.
It's a reminder that progress isn't always linear.
Right.
Sometimes seemingly minor technical details can create significant obstacles.
And it makes you wonder if something like that had happened then, what kind of oversights are we overlooking now?
That's a good question. It's like a cautionary tale for our increasingly interconnected world.
Right.
We might have more advanced technology, but we still need to be mindful of these differences in standards and practices.
Absolutely. And while he's at the factory, he also takes note of the local wildlife.
Oh, like what?
Lizards, a large snake.
Florida is known for its unique ecosystems.
Right. And he even sees a gray squirrel outside his hotel window.
Those little observations are so charming.
Yeah. And you know what else caught my eye?
What's that?
He mentions the abundance of golf shops.
Golf shops?
Yeah, and how surprisingly affordable they were.
Hmm, that's interesting. It seems like a random detail, but... Well, today Florida is known as a golfer paradise.
It is, yeah.
Maybe Arjun, without even realizing it, was witnessing the early stages of that phenomenon.
Wow, yeah, like he stumbled upon a trend in the making.
It's amazing how these little details can sometimes offer surprising insights into the evolution of a place.
Totally. So Arjun's ready to head back home after all of that.
I bet he was ready for some familiar sights and sounds.
Oh, yeah, he was. And he talks about this feeling of relief.
Okay.
When he finally hears Dutch being spoken again.
Oh.
Yeah, he like pops a cassette into his Walkman.
Oh, a Walkman. Classic.
Right. And it's just like this wave of familiarity washes over him.
That's so relatable. You know, even if you haven't traveled internationally.
Yeah.
Just think about how comforting it is to hear your native language after being surrounded by unfamiliar sounds for a while.
Oh, for sure. But it's interesting, though, because even after this moment of comfort,
yeah.
Arjun sticks to the familiar route.
To the airport.
Yeah, on his way back. Even though he was advised to take a more scenic one.
Oh, why did he do that?
Safety concerns.
Ah, that makes sense. Especially for a solo traveler back then.
Right.
I mean, think about it. No smartphones, no Google Maps, no way to quickly check if a neighborhood is safe or not.
Yeah, he had to rely on word of mouth.
And probably a lot of intuition.
Yeah, it makes you realize how much the information landscape has changed.
Totally. Back then, you really had to trust the people you met.
Yeah. And then on his flight back to Detroit, there's this really touching moment where he's asked to switch seats.
Okay.
To accommodate a wheelchair user.
Oh, that's nice. A small act of kindness.
Yeah, it's just this little spark of human connection.
It reminds us that even in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of travel, there's always room for compassion.
For sure. But speaking of connections, remember that stewardess from earlier?
The one who helped him in Detroit.
Yeah, he bumps into her again.
No way.
In Detroit, yeah.
What happened?
She barely remembers him.
Oh, that's awkward.
I know. It's kind of funny, though, how those brief encounters can hold such different meanings for people.
Absolutely. It's like a reminder that not all connections are meant to last.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're just fleeting moments that add a little spice to the journey.
Yeah. And speaking of unexpected moments,
oh,
there's this last anecdote.
Okay.
It's both humorous and a bit alarming.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
So going through security,
okay,
Arjun's flagged for carrying paracetamol pills.
painkillers.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, the security personnel thought it was something more illicit.
Seriously, they mistook paracetamol for something illegal.
Apparently. It's crazy to think how much security protocols have changed.
Right. It was a much different world back then.
I know. And it makes you wonder, have we sacrificed some of the ease of travel in the name of security?
That's a good question. It's a complex issue, for sure.
It is. But anyway, Arjun makes it back to Amsterdam, safe and sound.
Thank goodness.
Ready to resume his ordinary life.
But I have a feeling that this trip to Florida had a lasting impact on him.
I think so, too. I mean, it was more than just a business trip.
Right. It was a crash course in cultural differences.
The limitations of technology.
And just the unpredictable nature of travel in a pre-internet world.
Exactly. I mean, it makes you think, right? Like, here we are today talking about instant communication and GPS and online reviews. And it's like, that didn't even exist for him.
It really does make you appreciate how far we've come. Like, I mean, it's only been, what, like 30 years?
Yeah.
But the world is just completely different.
Yeah, and it's like we take those things for granted now.
I know, it's easy to forget what life was like before all that technology.
Yeah, so, okay, let's recap. What did we learn from this whole deep dive into Arjun's 1995 Florida adventure?
Well, I think one of the other takeaways is just how much the technological landscape has changed.
Oh, for sure. Like, from faxes and phone calls to, like, what even were those tiny navigation screens? Like, wow.
Right, and then the whole voltage thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that something like that could bring a whole factory to a standstill.
Yeah, but it just shows how important compatibility is in a globalized world.
Absolutely. And I think we also get a really good sense of how cultural differences can impact our experiences.
Oh, yeah, like Arjun's observations about American television and driving and even his food choices.
Right. It's a reminder that even within a single country like the United States, there can be these really stark regional and cultural differences.
Yeah, and those differences can sometimes lead to really funny situations, like the whole paracetamol incident at the airport.
I know, right? I still can't believe they thought he was carrying something illegal.
It's just a reminder that what might be perfectly normal in one culture can be totally misunderstood in another.
And of course, we can't forget all the little human moments.
Like the stewardess.
The chance encounters, the acts of kindness.
Yeah, those are the details that really bring the story to life.
They make Arjun's experience feel so relatable, even though it happened so long ago.
Yeah, so I guess the question is, would you have enjoyed traveling in 1995?
It's a tough one.
Like, on the one hand, there's something really appealing about that slower pace of life.
Yeah, no constant notifications, no pressure to document everything for social media.
But then on the other hand, can you imagine not having Google Maps?
Or being able to quickly check if a neighborhood is safe?
Yeah, that's definitely a trade-off.
So, listeners, what do you think would you trade the convenience of modern technology for the charm of a pre-internet world?
It's something to ponder, and maybe it'll even inspire you to dig into your own family history.
You know, maybe there are some hidden gems waiting to be discovered in your own family archives.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe someday someone will be doing a deep dive into your life.
And marveling at all the strange and wonderful things you did back in the early 21st century.
Well, that's all the time we have for today, but thanks for joining us on this journey back to 1995.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.